What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Getting straight into it, my very special guest, longtime friend and confidant and fellow scumbaggery exposer, Penelope S. Bright. I believe she's like the granddaughter or something of some kind of old military man named Bright. And she's incidentally got a lot of bright ideas. Penny, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. It's actually Penelope Mary Bright, uh-huh. Which I think is rather appropriate because I'm going to be standing against John Key in the Helensville electorate. So if anyone wants to help, the bank account to which they can make donations if they'd like to help is PM Bright. What do you think about that?
Hey, yeah. Bright for PM and donate to PM Bright.
Yes, yes. I think, no, isn't life strange? Anyway, we'll come back to that one. But, oh, my God. Goodness me, what exciting times we live in.
There's been a lot going on in New Zealand, especially with scumbaggery and corruption. In fact, there always has been, but it usually doesn't get exposed or the perpetrators don't usually get punished for it. That's how corrupt New Zealand is. But now it's different a little bit, isn't it, Penny?
Well, it is. And I mean, some of us who have been very focused over the last 6 years trying to expose the absolute steaming pile of BS that New Zealand is perceived to be the least corrupt country in the world, when the Corruption Perception Index from Transparency International is actually not very transparent itself. It's made up of subjective opinions of anonymous business people, like Business Roundtable. Do you think New Zealand's corrupt? Nope. Seriously, eh? So, oh no, it's so exciting because what's happening next Thursday at 2:15 p.m. in the Auckland High Court, Justice Wiley will give his verdict on the John Banks trial for alleged electoral fraud.
Whoa. John Banks is the roadrunner and the judge is Wiley Coyote.
Well, the thing is that myself, I actually am of the opinion that not only is John Banks going to be convicted, but he's going to jail. I think it'll be shock and awe because the world is watching. And as someone who's been focused for over 3 years trying to get the former leader of the ACT Party, the Party for Personal Responsibility, held accountable. I mean, I stood against John Banks in 2011 in Epsom, trying to say, well, how come ACT's one law for all hasn't applied to John Banks and Don Brash over Hewlett? And talk about go everywhere on that one, made formal complaints to the Finance Markets Authority, Serious Fraud Office, New Zealand Police, petitioned Parliament for an inquiry into the Hewlett Wealth Management prosecutions, because Banks and Brash were two out of three directors, and it was only Peter Hewlett there who was ever charged. And the charge was that if you sign a registered prospectus which contains misleading information, it's like strict liability offence, drive 60Ks in the 50Ks area, well, that's the end of you. They were never charged. And what happened was the Commerce Select Committee, which was dominated by National Party MPs, had no matters to bring to the House. That's why New Zealand needs to ratify the UN Convention Against Corruption, and we need a genuinely independent Commission Against Corruption.
Do we even need the UN? I mean, why can't we do it ourselves?
It's just that the UN Convention Against Corruption, it's up to sovereign national states to decide to ratify it, and, you know, it's...
Once ratified, how does a sovereign state get out of it?
No, what happens is once it's in order to ratify, sovereign states must get their domestic anti-corruption legislative framework in place. And New Zealand hasn't ratified it because, get a load of this, we're perceived to be the least corrupt country in the world, but our domestic anti-corruption legislative framework is not yet in place. Go figure that one out. And the fact is that, and that's another issue, dear old Judith Collins, our Minister of Justice, she promised Transparency International New Zealand last year in writing that her organised crime and anti-corruption legislation bill, which is like an omnibus bill, which is going to tie together a lot of loose ends that needed to, you know, be changed before New Zealand could ratify, that it will be presented to the House last year. Well, guess what? We're just now, nearly in June 2014, her bill has yet to make its entrance into the parliamentary sausage machine. And I've checked with parliamentary services. Parliament rises on the 31st of July. That's the end of Parliament. And if a bill is going through lawful due process in a proper way from woe to go in Parliament, then it takes 6 months to go through the proper legislative process. Well, do we have 6 months from June to the 31st of July? Why goodness, we don't. So by a simple majority in the House, a bill, the process can be squished into 1 month, or what they can do is rush it through under urgency in 1 day. Well, how does that fit in with New Zealand doing things in a proper way when we're addressing this issue of corruption? Judith Collins, in my considered opinion, is not fit for duty. Not only should she be sacked as Minister of Justice, but she should be out of Parliament. I mean, if she hadn't been so busy looking after the private commercial interests of Oravida Limited, of which her very close friends own it and are directors of it, including her husband's a director. Give me a break. Unbelievable, eh?
This country's very similar like that. Michael Stiasny, personal friend to John Key, he gets involved in all these big government sell-out clean-up packages and things like that, and they wind up lining their own pockets as well as the pockets of their mates and then getting positions and at the top of corporate banking or something like that, as happened to the previous Justice Minister, Simon Power.
Yes.
You know?
Well, the thing is, Vinny, that fellow public watchdog and friend Grace Hayden, in 2 weeks' time we're over at another major anti-corruption conference in Brisbane. This one, thank God, you didn't have to pay any registration fee, so it's only sort of the cost of getting there and accommodation. But this will be my fourth anti-corruption conference, and I have to say that there are endemic forms of corruption in New Zealand, grand corruption, which happens at the highest levels, which most people in this country have never even heard of, including mainstream media.
Do you believe those levels extend beyond the government and indeed go offshore controlling interests like the arm of a octopus?
Well, they're interlinked, there's no doubt about that. But, I mean, I talk about, you know, state capture, which I'd never heard of until I went to the Transparency International Conference in 2010. And state capture is where vested interests get their way at the policy level before the law is passed. And I thought, oh, my God, that's exactly how the Business Roundtable did it. They focused on policy, and then they got the law that they wanted, or the laws that they wanted. And where you go to find out where state capture is occurring, you look for the regulatory impact statements, regulatory impact reports, and you see with whom government policy and analysts, who are they consulting with? And what you tend to find is that very much vested interests are treated as if they're independent third parties. What happens? The law goes through the parliamentary sausage machine, and these vested interests, usually corporate vested interests, get what they want. State capture.
And on top of this, we've had a look at the list of registrants and people who are vouching for Transparency International. And what's so hilarious about it is that all of them are the top business leaders and top political handlers and government departments and things like that, which many of us have suspected for a long time to be corrupt.
Well, the thing is that, Transparency International, full stop. I went to the conference in 2010, and what I did, I blew the whistle to my eyeballs, bled basically, and I distributed hundreds of copies of a New Zealand corruption reality checklist, because I believe that there are objective yardsticks that you can measure against, like, has New Zealand ratified the UN Convention Against Corruption? No. Does New Zealand have an independent commission against corruption? No. Do members of parliament have an enforceable code of conduct? No. Do New Zealand judges have an enforceable code of conduct? No. And I mean, I had about 20 points which are objectively measurable against. And I said, basically, I believe this is what Transparency International should do. They should base their measurement of corruption against things which are objectively measurable. Corruption reality checklist. I said, this checklist could be used by any country in the world. And did they listen? They did not. So as far as I'm concerned, and I was in regular contact with Transparency International, and now as far as I'm concerned, the Corruption Perception Index is absolutely toilet paper. It's not worth the paper upon which it is written. Seriously. Because another major thing with Transparency International, do they look at tax havens? They don't. And where do the filthy, undeserving rich put their bribes? They put their bribes into tax havens. So if you're an organisation which is purportedly concerned about bribery and corruption, wouldn't you think you'd look at where they put the bribes? So why aren't they? And I came across
my conspiratorial mind would say because they're taking those bribes.
Well, the fact is, in New Zealand, Transparency International, let's go through a little track record here, shall we? Do you remember back in 2009, I'm an anti-corruption activist, you know, I can point a stick at things where I've actually helped to get some changes. I'm an anti-corruption activist. Well, guess what? Transparency International New Zealand are absolutely opposed to having genuine anti-corruption activists as part of their organisation, because what's happening is they're part of the myth and the fraud that New Zealand's the least corrupt country in the world. And if you actually go on their website and check their sponsors, what they've got, about 95% of their funding they get from government departments who have an absolutely vested interest in maintaining that myth. Their number one platinum sponsor is the Office of the Auditor General. Well, guess what? You'll love this. Okay, what happened was I had a lot of girly swat over Christmas and read heaps of stuff. And what I discovered was, oh my God, our Auditor General, was she still a shareholder in Sky City? Because I read, you know, this is when you get a ruler and a pencil and we underline stuff. So this is studying, reading, not just flip. Like
I couldn't have made this up if I was the most cynical. Oh my God.
Well, you remember when the Greens made a fuss about the Sky City deal, because first of all you had the deal, then you had the legislation to entrench the deal. Well, the deal was subject to an Auditor General investigation. But when you read the tiny, tiny, tiny fine print, guess what? Auditor General Lynn Provost, she didn't carry out that inquiry because she was a shareholder in Sky City. So it was the Deputy Auditor General that carried out this report, and I thought, oh my God, I wonder if the Auditor General is still a shareholder. And the reason why I asked that question to myself was because I last year had asked the Auditor General, Lynn Provost, to conduct an inquiry as to why Organised and Financial Crime Agency of New Zealand, Ofcams, who specialise in money laundering, why they had done no due diligence on the increased risk of money laundering arising from the Sky City deal. She declined to investigate. She danced around on the head of a pin and said it was a policy issue, which it was not, because Ofcams come under Vote Police. They get money under the police budget. Their job, their stated job, is to help stop money laundering. They hadn't done their job. Inquiry. Guess what? At the time the Auditor General declined to investigate Ofcams, she was still a shareholder in Sky City. As far as I know, she still is. Well, so what I did, I managed to get a petition into Parliament, and thank you, Dennis O'Rourke from New Zealand First, and this petition was sponsored by New Zealand First, asking for an inquiry as to why the Auditor General had failed to conduct an inquiry into Ofcams for lack of due diligence on the increased risk of money laundering. Well, it went to Finance and Expenditure Select Committee, which of course has a majority of National Party MPs, and guess what their reply was? We have no matters to bring before the House. How the hell is that not corruption? How the hell is that not Parliament.
People in this country aren't
endorsing and supporting corruption.
People in this country aren't suspicious, Penny. I mean,
I think they're changing. I think they are changing, Vinny. I think that this year, at the beginning of this year, I predicted. Okay, I've now turned into some sort of soothsayer, but I predicted that this would be the year of huge scandals relating to corruption, like a giant corrupt corporate onion, layer upon layer upon layer. Well, goodness me, there's layers I didn't even know of that are now unpeeling, and the public are guessing it. And I mean, don't forget last year when I campaigned against corrupt corporate control of the Auckland region, I polled fourth and got nearly 12,000 votes. So people are guessing it.
And whether or not it's enough, we don't know as yet. Time will tell. And the thing is, these people move very quickly, like cockroaches scuttling into the underwood. I wouldn't be surprised if there might be, I don't know, some surprise changes in the political lineups or something like that. Like, oh, they're retiring. They're going overseas to some kind of thing where they're outside of our jurisdiction, perhaps.
Well, the thing is this, that... that's why I want to stand against John Key in Helensville, because I want to keep the blowtorch on the issue of corruption. I do. And I mean, you've been involved.
Do you believe John Key himself has been involved in corruption, and specifically what cases of corruption do you think he might be involved with?
Well, don't forget, I mean, you were the one that did the filming, and that YouTube clip is still up there, as you recall. I mean, I made a formal complaint to both the police and Serious 4 office back in 2008 before the election against John Key over Transrail. And when the police and Serious 4 failed to do anything on the advice of a senior QC, I took a private prosecution against John Key over Transrail. And what happened was, this is in the same 2008 election where there was this massive campaign to try and stop New Zealand First and Winston Peters becoming part of any coalition government. And if you sling enough mud at the wall, some of it sticks. And I mean, you and I know, because you know, I turned over the pages of 3 months' worth of Heralds and you filmed them. And we have that as a record showing, because what we found, there was not one sentence about my complaint against John Key over Transrail in the Herald, not one sentence. And at the same time, when Rodney Hyde was getting Man on the Moon headlines, when he made a complaint to the Serious 4 office against New Zealand First, Man on the Moon front page. Well, wouldn't you think there might be one or two people a little bit interested over the John Key Transrail issue? Not absolutely censored, not one sentence. And the result of that slinging mud at the wall against New Zealand First and Winston Peters was that they did not make the 5% threshold. They got about 4.2% of the votes. And of course, it's because big business, majority of CEOs, did not want Winston Peters or New Zealand First to be part of any coalition government. You know, that's it. Follow the money. Those who have the gold make the rules. And that's what happened. So yes, fascinating stuff. But that's why I think it's going to be such fun in Helensville, because first there was that, and then you remember because you made the YouTube clip. Now, dear friend John Duncan, now deceased, he filmed that Grey Power meeting when I asked John Key to his face if he was personally profiting from New Zealand's growing indebtedness owing to the fact that he is still a shareholder in the Bank of America. And that's, quite a few people have viewed that, but the look on his face when he knew that question was coming, eh? Anyway, and then of course, the last time I've had a go at John Key, and this is the first time ever as part of the parliamentary process when I had a go at him as a submitter against the GCSB. And and I asked him to his, I said to his face, and it was published in the Herald the next day, Prime Minister, you may be used to doing, this is in relation to the Sky City deal, you may be used to doing deals over dinner and over the phone as part of your custom and practice arising from being an ex-foreign exchange advisor to the New York Federal Reserve or the head of derivatives for Merrill Lynch, but it's no way to run a country. That got reported, and then later on, about 10 minutes, and I said, Prime Minister, this is probably an offer you haven't had so far today. You show me yours and I'll show you mine. And he was thinking, what? And I said, bank accounts. open up your bank accounts, your tax havens, your trust accounts, your Swiss bank accounts, and nothing to hide, nothing to fear. You show me yours and I'll show you mine. And mine will take about 30 seconds because I'm nearly up to my $500 overdraft in the ANZ, and I've got about $2 in my Kiwi bank account, and that's it. Come on, Prime Minister. Nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Anyway,
I always thought that if the Prime Minister is going to be posting up, you know, oh, the GCSB bill and taking away everybody's right to privacy and whatnot, well, I'd say he should probably lead by example, you know, have some CCTV cameras installed in his bedroom so that anybody in the country can log on to the internet and plug into the video feed and watch you when you sleep, Prime Minister.
Well, I'm not so concerned about the bedroom, but I am concerned about the bank accounts. And I, quite frankly, my view is that anyone in public office, their bank accounts should be made available for scrutiny. I'm not saying for every member of the public, but there should be like some commissioner for integrity or whatever who's got the right to see. Where, you know,
what kind of commission of integrity would we have in this country, Penny?
If
the only commission in this country that I see of an official capacity involves the commission of a crime.
Yeah, you have a point, but I mean, what I'd like people to remember is back in the late 1980s, how New South Wales got the Independent Commission Against Corruption bills because the massive scandals over police corruption. I mean, where the people lead, the politicians will follow. So it's all about fuss. It's all about keeping the heat on, like I say, and that's why I want to have a go directly and campaign against John Key in Helensville to keep that blowtorch on corruption. Because, it's a lot easier to campaign an electorate of about 50,000 people as it was in the Auckland region, which is 1.4 million. You know, so you know, I'm really looking forward to it. But, just another couple of things I'd like to raise is that, yes, in terms of, you know, the news of the day, which is this coalition between the Mana Party and the Internet Party, and the choice of Laila Hari as the leader of the Internet Party, please do not ask me to have a frontal lobotomy. And why I say this is that a lot of people do not remember, or it's been glossed over in the media, about how the Laila's from the so-called left. Is that right? Well, I'm sorry. She dropped those credentials for me when she was appointed to be on the ATA, the Auckland Transition Agency, or my preferred definition, the Association of Treacherous Aucklanders, which helped to set up the super city. Laila Hari was appointed. She had a human resources type role there. God knows how much they paid her. It must have been a fortune, because what a coup, you know. And I mean, that the super city has been a corporate coup. It's been a corporate takeover. So anyone that helped to facilitate that and then purports to be left wing, I'm sorry, that's just bollocks. Absolute bollocks. And at the time, in my customary fashion, I approached Laila Hari directly about that, and I said to her face, I said, is it true that you've joined the ATA? And she says, Penny, I don't share your same jaundiced view about the super city. I said, it's a corrupt corporate takeover. Turned my back on her and walked away. And that's the facts.
Penny, I'm for the confused here, meaning me, jaundiced, what does that mean exactly?
Jaundiced, well, I think that, yeah, my anti-super city view, she didn't share it. In fact, none of the political parties were actually opposed to the super city. Let's get it right. I mean, facts are facts.
Yeah, well, can I make a point here as well, Penny, just based on that? Every single party has Agenda 21 as their environmental policy. Every single party supports the corrupt corporate coup and the centralisation process and everything that gets folded us into the New World Order global takeover ruled by bankers. Okay, so what choice have we got?
Well, the thing is, it's where where the people lead, the politicians will follow, where there's a really clear demand and a lot of fuss and a lot of bother, because I can tell you, if you don't wear the corporate suits and operate at 30,000 feet, the only way ordinary people get change is by making a hell of a fuss. You've got to organise outside Parliament to get change inside Parliament. And, I mean, I've been an activist for over 40 years now, and that's the reality. So, but, I mean, like I say, you know, people got it in the mayoral campaign, nearly 12,000 votes. And what's fascinating is in the Helensville electorate, don't forget, it comes within the super city boundaries. So I know there's a lot of people up that way that hate the super city. You know, all this economies of scale and what's going to be good for citizens and ratepayers. Hello, it was all about bigger contracts for fewer but bigger private contractors. And the other huge thing about the Internet Party, which really deeply concerns me, is they support public-private partnerships. Now, hello, the super city has helped create the economies of scale scope, because it's bigger now, bigger contracts for fewer but bigger private contractors. What, first council-controlled organisations, then public-private partnerships? Lala Hari helped with that. Lala Hari, when she was in the Alliance, was opposed. Their policy was opposed to public-private partnerships. They did see it as a form of privatisation. Well, what's the position now, Lila? And what's the position? And what's the position of the Mana Party? You know, I've asked that, and I need to make more of a fuss about that, because people need to remember history and be careful what you ask for. I mean, I know we do need to get rid of this National Act government. We do. But by the same time, I think that people have to have their eyes wide open and not, you know, just exclude the facts. Yeah, you do, because back in 1984, I've been around a while, when people were so anti-Muldoon, and understandably, but, you know, everyone rallied round to help get rid of Muldoon, and don't forget the role of Bob Jones, who helped set up the New Zealand Party, which split the vote, which allowed Labor to get in, then we got Rogernomics. So just be aware, is what I'm trying to say. So
don't be a sheep. There's 40 million of them, okay, already. You don't need another 4 million.
Well, seek truth from facts. And I mean, I'm sorry, but I mean, my bullshit barometer's just way on high at the moment, because, my job is to be a public watchdog, and I will tell the truth, whether people like it or not. But I mean, I am quite even-handed. I mean, you know, I've put a lot of work in trying to get Banks to trial, and that wasn't supposed to happen, was it? And when Lisa Prager, myself, and Trevor Mallard, we were the original complainants that got this police investigation into John Banks over alleged electoral fraud, and then when they played that two-hour interview with Banks, Banks' interview with the police in court, and Banks was so distracted about the bullshit he'd said to the cops that he forgot that he was in a public goldfish bowl, and not only were people listening to this audio, they were actually watching him, and then he indulged in his own personal, somewhat revolting form of personal recycling, shall we say, which has now gone international.
Well,
but anyway,
can we define that, and then we've got to go to break, Penny. I'm sorry. Okay. What's John Banks recycling himself exactly?
You know, when he picked his ear.
Well, was he picking his ear and eating it, was he?
Very
was he saving
funny.
It for later?
I mean, I just think it's a degree of the distraction that he was under. He was just so listening to what he said, which is obviously best evidence because it came directly from John Banks, who didn't take the stand himself. Nothing to hide, nothing to fear, John. Then why didn't you put yourself in the witness box? Oh, guess what? Because you dug such a great big bloody hole that, you know, anything you're going to say is going to, you're going to be open to cross-examination. I mean, he basically, Banks put himself in the blender.
Yeah. Well, you know what what was it? What's red and green and goes 700 miles an hour?
A frog in the blender.
I don't want to know this one. Yeah, anyway, but fascinating. But, we'll have a result Next Thursday, 2:15, Auckland High Court, Waterloo Quadrant. Come along, folks. It's going to be historic and unprecedented.
Penny Bright, ladies and gentlemen, Public Watchdog and Good Citizenship Award recipient, and soon to be on the first New Zealand blacklist and drone strike.
All right, that's another... Yeah, okay, we can come back to that.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Don't you go anywhere.